And welcome to The Extra. We're the show that brings you and connects you with the topics, issues, and people that are important to you. And right now it is 9:05, maybe 9:08 here on KRDO's Morning News. Right now we are lucky to be joined by Chris Liddell, who is now the CEO of the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Museum, as well as Doug Price, who's the CEO of Visit COS. Welcome to the studio, gentlemen.
Thank you, Shannon. Great to see you.
Well, it's such a pleasure, especially seeing you, Chris, because you're a newcomer to Colorado Springs, relatively, and you joined the USOPM back in May of 2018, so it's not like you haven't been here for some time.
Correct.
Yes. Tell us about your past and what brought you to Colorado Springs.
Well, my immediate past was I was with the Smithsonian for a number of years, and then before that, National Geographic. Had the opportunity when I was contacted to look at this position to be able to come here. They were looking for three things in particular: somebody with international experience, somebody with museum experience, and then the third one was someone with sports experience. And so I have a longstanding service in the professional golf, both at the United States Golf Association board and then currently serve as a member of the board for the Professional Golf Association. So when golf became an Olympic sport in 2016, again, it gave me the chance to sort of check all three boxes for the search committee. And so when I came to town, I typically took that National Geographic training of assimilating into the culture, came a day early, walked around the streets, just really fell in love with the people I met and the community at large. And I was very interested in the project and how I could help this community. And I wanted to serve within this area.
So. Would you look at the uniqueness of this project? I mean, because it truly seems to stand out in my mind among museums, really nationwide, perhaps even worldwide. Is what exactly drew you to this project? What exactly do you think you're going to be able to bring to launching it off and getting it to be a going concern in the community?
Great question. First of all, what drew me to the project? You know, sport is a language that speaks to just about everyone. And what was most fascinating for me was the concept that it was looking at both Olympic athletes and Paralympic athletes and their abilities. And so there was so much contact. It is a American history museum in itself, and so it's a national museum because we're celebrating those athletes and contributors in the sports of the Olympic and Paralympic movement. But it was really about what generates these individuals to get up, to still be sort of this bastion of self-motivated people to come in and show their success, and to be able to find those stories and tell those stories. So America's always had great people throughout all of its history, and here within this movement, we know of some, but the 13,000 athletes that we've combed through, you know, over the last 2 years, 13,000 that have participated for us as either an Olympian or Paralympian since the beginning of both sets of games. There's fascinating stories, and it's not always about winning a medal or how you did or that magic moment, you know, the backstories of these people, where they came from. Our goal is to make this a museum of hopes and dreams. So any kid or young adult that comes there can find themselves, can see somebody that looks like them, has a background like them, and really try to help them be their Olympic or Paralympic best.
And you came from the Smithsonian, so do you think we could eventually see our museum being linked on the same level as that, as a destination museum?
Oh, I believe already we'll be a destination museum. We are part of the International Olympic Committee's Olympic Museum Network, so we represent the U.S. as one of 30 museums in that network. So we already have the ability to work peer-to-peer with these different institutions around the world. In fact, they've been a big supporter of some of the work that we've needed to do, some of the research. And so I definitely feel we'll be the preeminent Olympic and Paralympic museum about the athlete around the world.
Oh, well, we have much more to discuss here on The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, the people, the places that are important to you. Certainly, the National Olympic and Paralympic Museum is something of utmost interest to everyone in this community. So we're going to be coming back more with Doug Price and Chris Liddell after a quick break. You're listening to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra, and we are filled with Olympic dreams and Paralympic dreams here on KRDO News Radio. You're listening to 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, 92.5 FM, and we are joined here in the KRDO News Radio studios by Chris Liddell, the CEO of the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Museum, as well as Doug Price, who's the CEO of Visit COS. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for coming in, and we've been talking about this amazing structure, that's this destination museum that is springing up in Colorado Springs midst. And I got to tell you a story. A long time ago, when my daughter was maybe about seven, I wanted to show her something that I thought would be maybe inspirational to get her to consider, doing sports or more sports or what have you. And so I looked into going to, and I did. I took my daughter, like I said, about seven, down to the U.S. Olympic Training Headquarters. Well, it's a rather restricted facility. So you're able to get inside just a little bit and go and see some of the the shopping areas and some static displays. That's what they had then. And I remember thinking at the time, gosh, this is nice, but it's too bad there's not a bigger experience, a greater experience. And at the time, I don't know if anyone was thinking museum, but now to think that now we have this is exactly what I was trying to expose my daughter to, something that's very unique for being any person who has a family here in Southern Colorado and really all of the state. And so I just want to say you two are providing that, but it's not just you. Let's talk about Doug Price. What is the background on how we got funding for the museum?
Well, Shannon, you used the term Olympic dreams. And I think when you look back to this city, from when the USOC originally moved here from New York City back in 1978, I have been told by many people that there has been talk for a long time about a museum. They believe that it belonged here in Colorado Springs. There are some museums, Chris mentioned before the break, about Olympic museums around the globe, but in the United States, we don't have one until, it's pending, coming up here very, very soon. So I think that back in 2013, when we worked on this application, the state had this program that was called the Regional Tourism Act. And in order to apply for the tax incentive financing funds, you needed to have a project that showed that it could draw people from outside the state of Colorado to an attraction. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who were here, you might remember in December of 2013, the state agreed, supported our application, and gave us over $120 million in tax incentive financing over a period of 30 years.
Right.
And those projects include the Olympic and Paralympic Museum, what is now going to be the Widener Stadium with the switchbacks, Robeson Arena on campus at Colorado College, the Hibble Center up at UCCS, and the Air Force Academy Visitor Center. So I believe that, a lot of our culture changed when the state was historically not real supportive of
Colorado Springs.
Right.
That was a funding mechanism that provided the Denver Botanic Gardens.
Well, it actually provided the funds for the city of Aurora to construct the Gaylord Hotel. Right. It gave funds to the city of Pueblo to be able to expand the Riverwalk down there for the professional bull riders. And we thought that those two applications were, if they found those worthwhile, how could they argue with the USOC and UCCS and the Air Force Academy and everything else that we had going for us? So it was seed money. And as Chris can elaborate a little bit, there has been a lot of fundraising, and there's still fundraising to do, but that initial seed money from the state really helped launch the City for Champions projects, of which the museum has been the centerpiece.
Ah, just exciting times, because we are just months away from this thing opening, being open to the public. Tell us about that opening process. We know that coronavirus concerns have somewhat put a little bit of a, I guess, a question mark over certain things, and that goes for any gathering, any event that's going on across the U.S. But tell us what the plan is right now, roughly.
You know, we're looking to open in terms of mid to late spring right now. Everything is going extremely well. The building just celebrated about a week ago the finishing of the exterior in terms of the unique diamond panels that we have around the building. You know, it's been fun. That sort of is representative of the movement of an athlete. In fact, the building itself was originally inspired by Liz Diller, who came in when she looked at the piece of property and how to construct it, that as you face west on Vermajo, she was the only one in this international competition that we had who left the view of Pikes Peak and wrapped the building scape around that of the landscape. And so it kept this wonderful look from Vermajo in the way in which they're redoing that whole area. And so we're coordinating with the city right now and getting the streets redone, getting our own plaza done, getting the buildings constructed. Early on when I got here, one of the things that I approached our board, who voted unanimously to do it, was to extend our cafe to include an education and wellness center on the back end. That's so important, and part of what we saw in the ethos of the original games was this concept of mind, body, and spirit. And so we wanted to incorporate that to make sure that we had places that we could do professional development for coaches, for teams that came in, to really be able to have an education and learning center that would really reinforce the core values of both the Paralympic and Olympic movements. And we're very excited about bringing that alive. The museum itself, you know, we're in the throes now of finishing up the fabrication. About 75% of our galleries will be digital, in the sense that we'll have videos and photographs.
Interactivity.
In fact, we'll have RFID technology. So as an individual comes in, or as a school group comes in, they'll be given sort of their version of an Olympic athlete or Paralympic athlete credential. Embedded in that credential is an RFID chip that really serves two purposes. The first one is it allows you to set your preferences. If you have a disability, if it's a physical or sensory or cognitive or perspective impairment, it allows you to set that for yourself. So as you move throughout the museum, each of the galleries will adjust to your needs in a very subtle way, that it doesn't create an awkward moment for any visitor coming through. So if you need additional help in the size of type, or if you're deaf and you need the ASL, which we've incorporated in everything, you'll be able to see that. If you're blind and you need audio description broadcast, we have short throw speakers above each of the galleries that you can listen as you walk through.
And that also triggers just automatically with that RFID.
And it tracks people's movement through the museum, so we know the pace at which people are visiting. Mm-hmm. We designed it to sort of accomplish sort of three different types of visitors: those who are casual visitors that'll go through the museum relatively quickly, those who are knowledge seekers. I always like those are the ones who watch Jeopardy and want a little bit of knowledge on everything. And then there's the lifelong learners. In American history, you know, we always sort of referred to those as a Civil War. So they didn't buffs. They didn't have just, 20 books on the Civil War. They had 1,000. They could tell you how long the blade of grass was in Gettysburg, and so things along that line.
All those nerd recreationists.
Yeah, so anyway, so hey, the we'll museum's take them, right? Designed to sort of allow them to have unique experiences as they move through, so they can absorb and digest the content. But you're also, the second aspect of the RFID is if you have certain sports. If you like figure skating, or if you like hockey, or if you like bobsledding, or if you're more into swimming and track and field. As you move through the galleries, we'll be able to recognize your sports preferences, and so we'll be able to show you more of the sports that you're interested in. Huh. And so as you move through, there's about 100 points throughout the museum that you'll be able to have this encounter, and so you'll do that. So there's a lot more than just the RFID. We have interactives. We have 6 different sports where you can test your abilities and some of the key things, whether it's speed or accuracy or muscle control or agility and mental focus. You know, we've really designed these programs in wrapping around the nutrition that you have to have. We've developed 12 lesson plans according to the Colorado State Standards, you know, 4 for lower schools, 4 for middle school, and 4 for
and
upper schools.
And homeschoolers could come through.
Right, yeah. Very much so. Okay. And what's unique about the RFID is that as you go through different experiences, we'll download your experiences to a digital locker. So at the end of the museum, each RFID badge that you get will have your own unique URL that you'll be able to go download. A teacher can set her curriculum that she wants the kids to see as they move through with their RFID. So we're really working with the community and the leadership to be able to give people a wide breadth of focus. And
so, fascinating.
I got one more fun thing, which I think is the most important.
The most important? Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to take a break. So stay tuned. Chris Liddell, the CEO of the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Museum, is joining us this morning. He says he's got one more, but I'm hoping you have a whole half hour of one more.
Absolutely.
One more things that you need to know about this exciting museum. Doug Price with Visit CEOs also in the studio. And we're back with the extra after these messages. And we are back on The Extra, and we are talking about Museum Dreams, the Olympic and Paralympic Museum that is going up in the heart of Colorado Springs, what it means for this community, what it means really for the Olympic movement. And we are joined by the CEO of the museum, Chris Liddell. Thanks so much for joining us. And Doug Price with Visit COS. And we're talking a little bit about how the experience is going to be for museum goers. And you were talking about how they're going to have this device that is fitted with an RFID. I followed along with what you were saying, but why don't you explain it to our listeners?
Well, simply put, the RFID is a radio frequency identification, and it's embedded into the credential that's there. It's a unique RFID so that you're able to keep private your preferences, but as you set them, the museum will recognize that RFID and will track it as it moves through the museum and can make these adjustments. It's very similar to like your cell phone being mm-hmm. able to be recognized as you move through different areas. And so it operates under very same principles as that.
Cutting edge.
Yeah. And you know, one of the fun things, and I did tease this, is that, you know, from the very beginning, that the design of this museum was about inclusivity and access. And it is unique in that regard, that if you are an individual that has a disability, you're able to have the exact same experience at the exact same time moving through with able-bodied people. So there's not a special way you have to go. There's not a difference in terms of the exhibit, that everything is ramped. You go up an elevator together, you come off, and then there's a nice ramping. So everyone walks the same direction. Everyone sees the same experience as they move through from galleries. While it may adjust to your RFID, it makes sure that people standing around you have a similar experience. And so it's all designed to be a parallel experience. And we did that with the Olympic and Paralympic athletes from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. So the authenticity is very high. And when we talked with Paralympic athletes, they say, don't overcompensate for us. We just want to be treated as one of the group, not having special things done for us. But how do we create that uniqueness? So we've spent a lot of time with mock-ups and testing with athletes from the training center, both Olympic and Paralympic, those who have been Hall of Famers and those who have been head of the national governing bodies have all come in and helped us design. So we've really made this a community museum. And, you know, the relationship that we have with Visit Colorado Springs is as important, because it's not just about when you get to our front door. It's when you land in Denver and drive down, or in Colorado Springs and come up. And through the work of Doug and his group, you know, we've had hotel chains approach us about our design elements and how do they design to accommodate more Paralympic type of athletes or those with greater disabilities because of the draw that this will have nationally. We have around 21 million Americans who could qualify for the Paralympic Games based on their disability if they were good in their respective
sport.
Right. Yeah. And if you contrast that with the country of Australia, it has around 23 million people in total. You get this large sense of how many folks that really do within our country have this. And so our goal is to really make this about the athlete. So it's not just a sports museum, though. We'll be an art museum. We'll be a history museum, a science museum, a technology museum, and a culture museum. And we can walk through those.
You know, the cover of our visitor guide for 2020 for Olympic City USA features Brandon Lyon, who's a Paralympic cyclist going through Garden of the Gods. So we're doing our best to make sure that not only able body, but that the Paralympia athletes, that the light shines just as bright on them, as Chris said.
Sure, because the inclusivity is so key, especially when it's even part of the name, the
right.
USOPM, the right. Paralympic as well as Olympic.
Right.
So it's very exciting. So you were talking about some of the various exhibits and
right.
how they'll be incorporating technology and immersive experiences. So do you have a favorite?
I'm not
exhibit.
Allowed to have a favorite.
I know you came from the world of golf, so that might trump a lot.
There's so many great stories in there, and given it's Women's Month, I want to share with you one of the most unique stories that we heard is about Betty Robinson. Betty Robinson was the first American to win the 100-meter dash in Amsterdam in 1928, and so she was 16 years old, and she was literally discovered. She had missed her train, and there was a track coach in the back of the train that saw this young girl run down the train, and so nobody should be that fast. And so, as legend has it, that's how she got discovered. And 6 months later, she was in the sport. She won a gold medal for us in the 100 meters, and then another silver at the 28 games. In 1932, she didn't get the chance to defend the gold. In 31, she was involved in a plane crash that killed everybody on the plane. And so her body was recovered with those. And somehow the person in the morgue was sort of sorting through to notice that there was something different about her body. She actually was in a coma. She remained in a coma for about a half a year, and then about another 6 months in a wheelchair, but she was unable to compete, or one of her legs was shorter than the other. But for 1936, to basically go to the Berlin, she tried that. She thought she could make the relay time because she didn't have to get in a crouch position. Mm-hmm. She could do a running start, and she ended up representing us, winning gold there in a surprise
fact. Winning.
So she won two gold medals, you know, 8 years Bracket. Apart, and had suffered and recovered from that tragedy. Wow. It's a great
true grit.
Yeah, perseverance story in all of that. And her daughter came and gave us the medals about a week and a half ago for the collection to be on display. The outpouring from the athlete community, we received our first two golds and medals from our first American Paralympic athlete, too, that competed for us in the games. And so we have those as well, and just a tremendous outpouring. But again, you mentioned early on when we were talking about the Olympic Training Center and some of that, you know, they've been a great partner for
sure.
us, and we're looking at how to collaborate, how to bring people to our museum to get the history and the legacy, but to also have a visit over there that they can spend a day sort of seeing what it's like to be an athlete and what they go through. So you get this day in the life of, And then we tell the legacy stories from that standpoint.
Well, and I know I've never met an Olympian yet who doesn't want to share their experience, share their story. It's so unique. None of us can really step into their shoes until we hear what they have to say. So what excites you most, Chris Liddell, the CEO, about this museum?
It's every aspect of it, you know. So if I start off with what we can do with the museum, we launched the digital museum, you know, back in August of last year. So you can go to the U.S. Olympic Paralympic Museum digitally. It's usopm.org. And as you go there, you know, we talk about all the stories. We do all of the athletes. We have great relationships with all of the archives who are providing content for us, you know, Comcast, NBC, these types of individuals who've all helped us take the Olympic. ABC and CBS have always been there in terms of giving us footage so that we can look and create in some of these great moments. We have a database that kids can come in, regardless of where they are from the United States, enter their zip code on this digital map. And again, it was not something from National Geographic that I had to have, but it was nice to see a map, so it made me feel at home again. But in that map, we want kids to be able to see that our athletes don't come from faraway places in our country. They can come from across town or even down the street. So they enter their zip code, and they'll see the athletes who grew up by them when they were there. And so it tells this wonderful story.
Inspirational.
And it's really about these hometown heroes and everything. And, you know, we've connected with art. I mean, the Leroy Neiman Foundation, he was a 5-time Olympic official painter. They've given us his complete collection of Olympic art that we'll have on display. But more than that, they've reached out to us, and we've partnered with Art of the Olympian, the Yellow Order Foundation, who is a discus thrower, mm-hmm. who the sculpture as you walk in will be a discus thrower.
Original Greek sports.
Correct. Yeah. And it's actually modeled after his form and technique. His family provided us images of him. And so a sculptor, a highly recognized sculptor, was a 1984 fencer who has designed this artwork. But between the L. Order Foundation, Art of the Olympian, Leroy Neiman, we've created art workshops for the community this summer so kids can come and learn from Olympic and Paralympic athletes art in a unique way, using some of Leroy's sketches and things along that line as inspiration for their own creation.
The hits keep coming.
It does.
This is going to be just an outstanding museum.
We haven't even talked food yet.
Okay. Well, on that note, we're going to take a short break, but we have more of the extra coming straight ahead. We're here with Chris Liddell, the CEO of the new Olympic and Paralympic Museum, and Doug Price with Visit Colorado Springs. And gentlemen, we're going to take a short break, but we'll be back with the extra. And we're joined again, if you haven't been listening, you should have been, because this has been really exciting stuff. Chris Liddell, who's the CEO of the new U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Museum, joining us in the studio, along with Doug Price with Visit COS. And gentlemen, so many exciting things to mull over about this museum. We're looking for a launch sometime in mid to late spring, so that's very exciting. So tell us what kind of exciting things you were discussing just moments ago.
You know, one of the things as you go through, it's really about providing everyone. We're trying to build a symphony here in these different areas with art and science and all of that. We have a unique lab that's in there that is almost like the movie Minority Report, where you come in, it's all hand gestures that allow you to move through and take apart equipment and see the human anatomy that basically shows the impact of training on the body. We deal with social progress issues. We'll deal with those. And then as you know, with the whole culture element, you know, the culinary arts is still important. And so, you know, we have a wonderful chef coming in, a background from Beverly Hills and all of that, and Asian fusion. As we go into Tokyo, we thought it'd be fun to have a little bit of that. You know, we're looking at having a culinary arts program where people come in with a demonstration kitchen. We'll show them wellness and all of that, but also let them experience cuisines from each of the host cities. So we'll create a program throughout the year to let people come in and really get a sense of seeing what it's like to have been at some of the different menus in venues of cities and what they're famous for, and bringing that culinary alive as part of the overall experience. But I think, you know, when you talk about experiences for others, the authenticity that I mentioned early, you know, not every athlete gets to stand on a podium, and we make that a very sacred space within the museum, those that win medals and all of that. But without question, the one thing that the athletes had asked, could we do, is what it's like for them when they walk out of the tunnel into the stadium for opening ceremonies. Mm-hmm. And so we've created a 360 immersive experience within the museum to be part of a parade of nations that, as you walk into the ramp that takes you down, you start to hear the chant for Team USA. You walk out, and then you get to experience what they do. And we call it the tear factor. And so when we have the athletes experience them, if they get choked up, if they're wiping underneath their eye, we sort of got it right. So, you know, we really look to try to make sure it's as an authentic experience as what they've liked.
And that's at the start of your visit.
It's partway through. Okay. Yeah. And so you learn all about the history of the games. And from that standpoint, it's really been a lot of fun. And so creating this, you know, we've added 50% more objects in terms of artifacts to the museum than what was originally planned, and we just couldn't leave certain
you
things.
You know, Shannon, if we had another hour, we could go, I mean, literally today, in ancient Olympia, Greece, we have young champion ambassadors over there for the torch lighting. And once again, when you talk about what makes our Olympic City, USA, a special place, we're almost 100 days out, and so the torch will begin, and literally we have youth representatives over there today for the torch
taking part in that.
Exactly. Yeah. So we could just go on and on about what this museum is going to mean for the culture of Colorado Springs and
the Olympic movement.
Yeah, and the Olympic movement, and you know, Chris, I would just say to you publicly, I am so thrilled that you're here.
Thank you.
You know, we attracted you to come, and you have been able to attract other great people to work with you and make this team, your Team USA, make this project come to life.
Yeah, I mean, if there's to be humble in this whole experience, it has been a team effort. It starts with the athletes. It's been the board who really got behind this project. I've never seen a city before come and basically have our funding where we need to be from having it
from the get-go,
from being able to build and complete this, so much so that we're having to look to have the gala over multiple days because we have so many people to thank within the community.
I was just going to ask, how can we go?
And the other element is as you indicated, the future leaders. You know, this YCA program, the Young Champion Ambassador, started by the city, started out of the mayor. We paired up with it this past year. We now have 50 high schools in the Pike Peaks region that are participating. Each of them have about two. So we have 100 ambassadors rating, and we've been using them. And when we did the open house for the reunion in November, we actually had the young ambassadors with placards showing all of the past Olympians and Paralympians former competitors of that. They're still Olympians and Paralympians. Sure. As they came through, learned from these young ambassadors what that museum was about. So it was great to see them, and they've been wonderful.
I love the fact that we have a generation of young people, even in elementary school, who will look back and say, well, I've always lived in Olympic City, USA. The museum's been here my whole life.
Right.
And that is just a wonderful thing that, you know, kind of people have put this on the same level of when the Air Force Academy made their decision to come to Colorado Springs, that has been something.
A game changer.
Complete game changer. And the Olympic and Paralympic Museum is going to be very, very similar.
Gentlemen, we could talk another hour. We are out of time. I'm so sorry, and sorry for our listeners, but can I get you to promise to come back on the extra?
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
I mean, this town is wonderful, and the city has been great. And, you know, we can't wait to let them see their museum. It's called the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Museum. It is a community museum, and we've been trying to coordinate with all the other community and cultural centers. So if you go to our digital museum and you go to plan your visit, you'll see us highlighting all the other museums in town and all of that, because it is about what we're doing as part of the city and not just about us as in a Olympic venue.
Well, I think this museum is going to win the gold. That's what I think. All right. You've been listening to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. Gentlemen, thank you so much for sharing all this information about the new Olympic and Paralympic Museum representing the United States. And we'll be back tomorrow with more of The Extra.